So, we're going to be looking at Exodus, this incredible book today. And this has really challenged me, this book, as I've gone through it and looked at it. And I hope it will to you too. But I just want to go back to Jack and the Beanstalk, first of all. And that idea, there are lots of bean moments where God says, take these beans, they will grow and bring you great prosperity. As hard as it will be to take them. I mean, not literally, obviously. But there are some moments like that where God asks the Israelites to do some really difficult things on their journey. And they've got to make this daily choice between my little world, my little story, or God's big story that they choose between. And as we look at Exodus, Exodus, by the way, simply means exit, literally translated, or way out. And I don't know about you, but that's quite appealing. Or the other way is to translate it as freedom. Now, I don't know about you in your life, whether that seems appealing, an exit, a way out, freedom. It sounds appealing, doesn't it? Well, how much more so for these Israelites who had been in slavery for a long time to the most powerful nation that had ever existed. And God had made them promises, and here they were, slaves. And this book of Exodus also is a foreshadowing of the freedom that Jesus brings us today. And that's why I think it is so powerful to us and speaks to us into our situation about whether we're living in this little story or God's big story, because this is powerful to us. This is Exodus 6:7. I will take you as my, and this in some ways is a bit of a summary of what Exodus is about. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. And they will know that I am the Lord your God. He's trying to teach them something. Saying, this is what I'm trying to teach you. Then you will know that I am your Lord God, who brought you out from the yoke of the Egyptians. And you see it throughout the whole Old Testament and the New Testament. They keep coming back to this story of coming out of slavery. And we need to too. So our daily choice is our little story of fear, or God's big story of freedom. Well, which one would you choose? Your little story of fear or God's big story of freedom? Well, of course you'd choose God's big story of freedom. Of course you would. Of course you would buy the beans from the man saying they were magic beans and they'll bring you wealth and prosperity as he promises. That's not the promise God makes, by the way. But he does make us promises. In our heads, this is what we choose. But the reality is, to choose God's big story of freedom is difficult and scary. The New Testament says it is a narrow path. The other path is a wide path. What we actually do is we have our little story of fear and we say, come on, God, come and sort out my little story of fear. We live our lives largely as we want, and we invite God into our story and say, come on, change my circumstances in my little story. But God says, that's not what I'm about. Here's my big story of freedom. Come into my story of freedom. Don't let me sort out the little thing. In terms of the Israelites, it's a bit like them staying in slavery and saying, come on, God, I've got rough hands from all my being a slave. Come and help me with my hands of slavery because I'm feeling a bit sore. And God goes, no, 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 no. I've got this big story of freedom I want to get you into. And so we live in our little story of fear rather than in big God's big story. And never more is the pressure coming on Christians today. We're getting smaller and smaller and smaller into our little stories of fear and living like that. Listen to this from Numbers 1, 3 and 4. This is the Israelites. They have come out of... They've come out of slavery. They've seen the plagues. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've crossed the desert. And they are just about to come into the promised land. Yes, we're Christians. We've got everything. And this is what they say. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword, our wives and children be taken as plunder? Little story of fear. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt, back into slavery? Better than doing what the God says, because it's scary. It's much safer to stay in slavery. And they say to each other, we should choose another leader. Stuff Moses. He's led us right across this, provided to go across the desert, taken us across the Red Sea, taken us out of slavery. But let's have another leader who will take us back into slavery. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. And yet, as Christians, that's what we do. I look at some, you know, there's a temptation to preach God loves you. But sometimes God says, you've got to go and do difficult things. And you've got to be challenged. And you're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be safe. Life is dangerous as a Christian. And a little bit of us quite likes the slavery. Quite likes living like everybody else. Because it feels safe. Better to be a slave than be uncomfortable. So let's look at this in this amazing story of Exodus, where we've got my little story of fear versus God's big story of freedom. So I want to take you back. I want you to be an Israelite in slavery. Okay? You've been in slavery for a long time. Centuries. And it's you're a nobody. You're just slaves. That's my little story of fear. I'm just a slave. It's how I've always been. It's how my parents were. It's what I'll always be. But God said, I have promised you a land of freedom. You're not just a people. I'm going to give you a promised land. That's his big thing. I'm just a little slave. But I promise you this. It was crazy. This crazy. But there's a big story which God was inviting them into. We need a leader. But who could be a leader? There's a genocide going on where they're killing all the little baby boys. We can't possibly raise up a leader when they're killing everybody. There's a genocide. And just picture the foreshadowing. At Jesus' time, first of all, everybody was in slavery to sin. The nation of Israel was under occupation. There was a genocide going on with little children. Do you see the mirroring with Jesus? God's big story of freedom takes a little baby, puts him in a basket. What a dumb thing to do. Pushes him out on the Nile. Dumb thing to do. But it's part of God's story. I don't recommend it, by the way. God's big story is he takes him, rescues him, and he's taken into the palace and brought up in the Pharaoh's palace. Amazing, God's big story of freedom. But it doesn't go well from there. Because then he kills somebody and he gets seen doing it. And so he runs off into the desert and hides as a shepherd. And that's the end of our leader. My little story of fear. But God calls him through a burning bush. He calls him and says, come to me, my holy God, take off your shoes. And I'm sending you to set your people free. Moses, his little story of fear. I've got a speech impediment. I can't possibly do that. Yes, you can. I'll give you the words. I'll give you all you need to do. God's big story. I can't do it. God says, right, I'll send you with your brother, Aaron. He'll help you. How much do you need, Moses, to be invited into my story of freedom? My little story of fear. Pharaoh, the mighty Pharaoh, so much as speak to him and you will be killed. My little story of fear. God's big story of freedom. Moses stands before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Do you have maybe not a speech impediment? I had a speech impediment. I don't know whether you knew that, but growing up I did. Maybe I've still got it, I don't really know. But maybe there are things that hold you back and you think, oh, I'm just too small, and you live in your small theory. And here Moses is standing. But my little story of fear is this. It gets worse. When they're in slavery, the Pharaoh's so angry at all of this that he says, right, you're going to have to work harder as slaves. And they all complain to Moses and say, you've just made it worse for us. It was better us just being quiet little slaves. My little story of fear. This is making it worse, and it does. And it's true for us as Christians. When you choose Christ, your life won't get easier. My life has been a lot harder as a Christian than before I was a Christian. It's a lot better, but it's a lot harder. Being a Christian has made life harder for me. And sometimes that happens. But that ain't the point. The point is, which story? Am I my little story of fear, or am I my big story of God? Then we get to the last, and that the God's big story is he started to bring the plagues to change the Pharaoh's mind. Because God is more powerful than the Pharaoh, and he was going to make that clear. But we come then to the last of the plagues. And ever there was foreshadowing, it is here. The death of the firstborn. My firstborn, my inheritance will die. God will take my firstborn to die, my inheritance, my little story of fear. God's big story of freedom says, take a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and wipe it on the doorpost. So when the angel of death comes over Egypt, those who have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the spirit of death will pass over. And that's true for us. God became the lamb who was sacrificed. And his blood is on us as children of God. So the spirit of God will pass over us. So we will not die. Physically we'll die, but our soul will not die. And we'll be given a new body and we will live in eternity. This is the big story of freedom. Anyway, they're set free. We're free. As Israelites, we're free. We're off. We leave the nation. And we come to the Red Sea. Anyone seen the Red Sea? It's a vast sea. Behind us, that army, the mightiest army that ever existed, closing down on us. Don't you want to be back in slavery now? Isn't it better to be my little story of fear? I tell you what, I see that, and we're going to watch a film of this. You think, how is God going to do this? I don't know whether that's ever felt like this. You go, how's God going to get me out of this one? My little story of fear goes, I give up, I want to go back into slavery. God's big story of freedom, though, says, part C. Now, take note. Imagine, and we're going to watch this later. Imagine walking through that, it says in the text there were walls of water either side. Imagine the scariness of these walls of water. If they close, you're done. It's difficult being a Christian. It's a difficult path what God asks us. The big story of freedom is a difficult path to take. But God takes them across and closes it on the army. This mighty army, gone like that. So we're free. We've got free. We're in the desert and we're thousands of people and there's no food or water. In the desert, we're stuffed. My little story of fear, we're stuffed. Does God provide? When you give generously to the church, does God provide? Oh no, I can't. I look at my accounts and I think, I can't possibly be generous to God, to the church or anything else because I've got my little story of fear. But God says, I will provide food and water in the desert. If God, why? Because of who they were. They were children of the living God. And he had made a promise. And so he looks after them. Do you believe that? That you are children of God? and that he provides for you? I mean, do you believe that? When your finances are being challenged, do you believe that God provides? God's big story says he does. And if he can do it in the desert, he can do it today. I want to live my own way. And if ever before, Christian morals and values have been challenged. But God on Mount Sinai, God said, I'm going to show you how to live. Last week, I designed you, I made you. This week, this is how you live. If you build a car, follow the builder's instructions. If you want to live well, God doesn't, he doesn't restrict people. He shows them how to live and live in abundance. That's what God's law does. And while Moses is gone, back we had in the song, they build an idol. They do. They build an idol. Because solid things aren't solid things that you can see, like your bank account, like your family, like your friends, like your job. Those things feel a lot more secure than a God who we cannot see physically. So they build a physical idol and worship. Well, he's up the mountain, because we don't trust that God actually lives to us. We have our little story of fear. But God wants us to live in abundance and utter abundance. And then last of all, in this story, we come to the promised land. Well, the edge of the promised land. Send in spies to the promised land. They come back and they say, there are giants in this land and the walls, the cities are fortified. No way are we going in there. And that's where we get this text that I read out earlier. We're not going in. We're a bunch of slaves. No, you're not. You're children of the living God. And my big story of freedom, well, many of you know the story of Jericho, the first city. And it goes on through Joshua and David, which we're coming on to. The walls come down. God, they just obey God, walk around, obey God, and the walls come down. They take the city. And I wonder what the walls are that you think of today that are in this world. There's nothing that can't come down. I grew up with the Berlin Wall. It seemed like it would never come down, but it did. The USSR seemed like a more powerful organisation than ever. And we were brought up to fear it. But it collapsed. What's going on in the world which seems like a cannot be done? And I don't want to sell this as you need to have lots of faith to sort out your little problems. I'm asking for something far bigger today. I'm asking for you to move into God's big story, which means all of your life, not God coming in sorting out your little problems, but you uprooting your whole life and trusting God with everything. Numbers 1:8-9. If God is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. You say, don't be afraid of the people. I'm your God. Because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And that is the secret. The Lord is with us, and we are his people. The Lord is with us, and we are his people. In your circumstances, in this world, the Lord is with us, and you are his people. The Lord is with us, and you are his people. Do you believe that?
Yes.
1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So I ask you, is that one up there? Are you made perfect in love? Do you live by fear? What are you like? God kind of, our identity, we need to get hold of. There are two things, if you like. One is your identity.
You are children of the creator of the universe.
Do you get that? Children of the creator of the universe. If it doesn't work, you have to shut the whole thing down. Shut the whole thing down and restart. Sorry? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I know why that is. Your identity is as children of the living God. And you have to believe that. Because if you live in your little story of fear, that's not who you are. The big story of freedom means you don't need to be afraid of anything or anyone. And secondly, you need to choose to face your fear. Now, I want to tell you a quick story about facing your fear, about Lorna. Have you got a picture of Lorna? Do we have that picture? Now, Joe and I went up Mount Sinai, so this is very topical because we were going up Mount Sinai. And we met this lady with the sunglasses on. I guess she was about the same age as us because we were young then. Pre-children. And this is Lorna. And we came down from the mountain with her. You can see the lovely sunshine. We'd gone up and watched the sunrise, and we're coming down with Lorna. And one of the things she told us was she was an arachnophobic. Now, I don't know, some of you might be scared of spiders, but this is how scared Lorna was. Lorna said the very word spider was terrifying for her, to the point where she couldn't pick up a dictionary or an encyclopedia because it had the word spider in. Okay, that's pretty arachnophobic. And I was fascinated. I said, well, you're telling us about spiders now, so clearly that's not the case anymore. How did you do it? And as we were walking down Sinai, she told us that she had somebody help her and walk with her. And first of all, she had to just like look at a dictionary and knowing that it had, and then she had to pick it up, then she had to open it, and then she had to look at the word spider. This was not immediately, this was a long journey for her. And eventually she had to look at pictures of spiders, and eventually she had to look at real spiders, and then eventually she had to hold a dead spider, and eventually an alive spider. So she went from utter fear to freedom. And she said, I knew I couldn't live like this. But the reason I tell you that story, not just because it was at Mount Sinai, but because it was really hard for her to face her fear. There was no pill that she could take which cured her of it. She had to walk a path with somebody else and face that fear. Now, some of you know that, you know, lots of my story was full of fear, and it's something I still wrestle with, just speaking one-to-one with people. Certainly public speaking was a fear of mine, and I had to begin to do it, and it was only through doing it. But I didn't do it on my own, I did it with God, because I knew that God had got a reason why I needed to speak in public. Now, I don't know what your fears are. Do you fear speaking to other people? Do you fear... somebody's here, I won't tell you who they were, but when we were at New Wine, we were talking about, and that's what this evening's going to be about, we were talking about the idea of going and knocking on people's doors and sharing a little bit of our faith. And one person in the group said, I'd find that really, really hard, but I'll do it if somebody does it with me. And I thought, now that is what it's all about. Having the courage to face your fears, but you're not on your own, you can do it with somebody. And it's a difficult thing being a Christian. But we are called to share our faith. We are called to pray. We are called to read the Bible. If these are things you struggle with, you cannot live in your little story of fear. You must live in God's big story of freedom. And you must face your fear. You don't have to do it on your own. If you need help praying, get help. If you need help reading the Bible, get help. Yeah. If you need help sharing your faith, get help. Yeah. But don't stay in slavery. Don't stay as a little Christian in a corner. If you want to get to the promised land, and our promised land is heaven, we can't live in our little story. There's a reason why this nation is going. I was looking at statistics only yesterday. The church declining, declining, declining. Because we're full of fear. We're afraid to share. Boy, do we have good news. Now, I'm not asking you to go and preach on the streets tomorrow. But I am asking you to face your fear, whatever it is. Don't live in fear. Be it money, be it sharing your faith, be it prayer, be it Bible study. Engage. Be it coming to church regularly on Sunday. Engage. Get into the big story of God. And put God first, okay? Not your family even, God. Now that doesn't mean to say you have to abandon your family. But God, don't get God to come into your thing. Say, what does my life look like if I put God first? My family can come second, because if I'm in God's big story, my family will be blessed. My money will be looked after. And I will be looked after. What does it look like to actually put God first in my money, my job, my life, my friends, my morality? What does it look like? And then start. This has been difficult for me, because I realised how much this has been speaking to me. And I'm done with living with my little story of fear. I want to live in this big story, but it's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult. But I don't want to live in slavery. I want to live in the freedom that God brings us. Let's just pray, and then we're going to watch a video about the Egyptians closing down on the Israelites and crossing that sea. And there's a song which was written about it, which is over the top of the film. Listen to the words of the song as well, because they are very relevant. Heavenly Father, come, I pray, into each one of us now and show us what it means to come into the God's big story of freedom, and to walk away, expose my little story of fear, and bring me, as difficult as it is, into your big story of freedom.